some of Jesus' disciples were eating food with unclean hands. They were not dirty as we normally think of dirty hands. Their hands were ceremonially unclean. According to Jewish tradition, a good Jew had to wash their hands in a very specific way before they ate their meal and between each course of the meal. Water for this purpose was kept in large stone jars, and that water was used for no other purpose. First, you would hold your hands out with the fingers up, and someone would pour a little water on your hands up to your wrists. And then you would rub one hand into the other hand and reverse the process. And then you would hold your hands with fingers down, and water would be poured again on your hands. When you did this in this exact way, then your hands were ritually clean before God. If your hands were not washed in this way, they would be unclean before the sight of God, and all kinds of bad things would happen to you. This, to the Pharisees and scribes, was the very essence of religion. Now, it makes no sense to us, but to them it was the very heart of their faith. They believed that they had to keep all the rules and regulations of the Jewish tradition if you were going to be right with God. And there were literally thousands and thousands of these rules and regulations that had been put together by Jewish leaders, by rabbis and scribes, down through the centuries. Purity laws, Sabbath laws, laws concerning tithing, rules and regulations that affected all aspects of their everyday lives. If you kept all the rules and regulations, you were pleasing God, and God would bless you. If you broke the laws, God would condemn you. Now Jesus comes and gives a radically new teaching. Jesus accused the scribes and the Pharisees of being hypocrites. They were acting righteous and godly, but inside they were filled with sin. Their hearts were far from God. Jesus quotes the prophet Isaiah concerning them. "These people honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. They worship me in vain. Their teachings are but rules taught by men." This is strong condemnation. Jesus is saying that their worship is useless. They worship in vain. And their righteousness is just an act. It's a pretense that they are putting forward. Their hearts are not right with God. And they have exchanged the teachings of God for the teachings of men. Jesus gives an even stronger condemnation to the scribes and Pharisees in Matthew 23:27. Listen to what Jesus says. "Woe to you, teachers of the law and Pharisees, you hypocrites! You are like whitewashed tombs, which look beautiful on the outside, but on the inside are full of dead men's bones and everything unclean. In the same way, on the outside, you appear to people as righteous, but on the inside you are full of hypocrisy and wickedness." What a powerful image that is. A tomb can be whitewashed and thus look beautiful on the outside, but inside the tomb is rotting flesh. We don't even want to think about what is in that tomb. The putrid smells, the filth of a decaying body. It is truly disgusting. But that's what the Pharisees were like. Everyone considered them to be holy and righteous men. They were seen as the most godly men of their days because they gave themselves completely to following the rules and regulations of the Jewish tradition. And they loved to show off their goodness so that all could see how wonderful they were. But inside their hearts, they were full of evil. Now we can do a pretty good job of cleaning up the outside of our lives, of looking good on the outside. We go to church faithfully. We may serve in leadership positions in the church. We say all the right things. We use godly words that Christians use. We read our Bibles, we sing the hymns, we pray the prayers, and we may volunteer for some very worthy causes. We don't swear, we don't beat our wives or children, we pay our taxes, we vote, we are good, respectable citizens. People look at us and they see a good person. Maybe a very good person. But what about our hearts? What is happening inside our hearts? Are we filled with pride? Does greed rule our hearts? Or lust? Or anger and bitterness and thoughts of revenge for those who have hurt us? Is our heart consumed with selfish ambition? Do we indulge in pornography? Have we indulged in pleasures that we know are not godly? Are we jealous of others? Do we gossip and slander other people? The list of sins that dwell in our hearts could go on, and are enumerated many times throughout the New Testament. Catholic priests have been in the news again lately. In Pennsylvania, more than 300 priests have been accused by a grand jury of sexually abusing more than 1,000 children. And the number of those abused children is much, much larger than that because many did not come forward to testify. Thousands and thousands of children. How tragic is that? Here are men who are dedicated servants of God, priests who look very good and godly on the outside, but they're filled with evil on the inside. And they have hurt and harmed so many people, so many children. Innocent, powerless children. I believe there's a special place in hell for those men and for all the bishops that covered up their crimes. Now, I know the problem is not unique to the Catholic Church, and I don't mean to cast aspersions on the Catholic Church. The problem exists within the Protestant Church as well. Good and godly men and women can use their power and their influence to harm the powerless. Bill Hybels has been forced to resign from his megachurch, Willow Creek, in Chicago, because of sexual abuse claims against women. How easy it is to look good on the outside, but have hearts that are filled with sin. The New Testament makes it very clear. Jesus makes it very clear. We need new hearts. That is the essence of the problem of humanity. We have hearts that are filled with sin, and we need those hearts cleansed and made new. And that's exactly what Jesus promises to do. When we trust in Jesus as our Lord and Savior, when we give Him our hearts, Then the Spirit comes in to clean house. We are filled with the Holy Spirit. And by His power working within us, our sins are taken away. Not completely, but the change does happen. The sin becomes less and less powerful. Sometimes it happens quickly and dramatically. Most of the time it takes a lifetime. But it is a slow and sure process that the Holy Spirit does within us. And our hearts will be cleansed. The old is gone. The new is born within us. Listen to the promise of 2 Corinthians 4:6. For God who said, "Let light shine out of darkness," made His light shine in our hearts to give us the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. In the darkness of our hearts, the light of God's glory shines through Jesus Christ. We are given new hearts. We are born again, born anew from above. James Stuart Bell was a child of the 60s. He experimented with drugs. He was deeply involved in the anti-Vietnam War demonstrations. And he was very heavily influenced by Eastern religions. James tells about the change that occurred in his life. Let me share his words with you. He says, "In the spring of 1973, I sat alone on the library steps of Holy Cross College at 2 a.m. A dose of LSD taken several hours before had worn off. I crashed into deep emptiness, feeling alone in the cosmos. I remembered my blessed childhood and realized how far I had stepped off the right path. Then I remembered what my Jesus freak friend had told me, that during his LSD trip, the Holy Spirit had entered him, assuring him of his forgiveness in Christ and bringing new life. I asked Jesus to lift the weight of my sinful, self-absorbed life and enter my heart forever. It was as if a fountain of living waters rose from deep inside, pushing out all the junk that had built up within. A fountain of living water cleansing his heart." James Bell was given a new heart, and that change was permanent. His parents were amazed at his transformation. They too had a renewal of faith because of the changes they saw in their son. James is now married to a godly woman and has 4 children who are faithful believers in Jesus Christ. It's not enough to look good on the outside. We need new hearts. And that's exactly what God will give us when we give our hearts to Jesus. Would you join me in prayer? Father, we have been Christians for a long time. And most people see us as good and righteous people. But Lord, we know that we need hearts that are cleansed and renewed continually by Your Holy Spirit working within us. So, Lord, we give You our hearts and ask that You would change them, transform them by the power of Your Holy Spirit working within us. In Jesus' name, amen. again, please. Disciples and was made known to them in the breaking of bread. It is true for us as well. Christ is made known to us as we break this bread and drink this cup together. Sisters and brothers, this is food for the journey to which God has called us. Let our lives be nourished by the Lord Himself as we celebrate together at this table. The sacrament is open to all who love the Lord and follow with Him as their Savior. Please feel free to come forward down the center aisle, take the bread and dip it into the cup and return it along the side aisles. The Apostle Paul tells us that on the night on which Jesus was betrayed, he took bread, and when he'd given thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Paul goes on to tell us that in the same way after supper he took the cup, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me." Paul then reminds us that whenever we eat this bread and drink this cup, we proclaim the death of Jesus until he comes again. Would you join me in prayer? Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior, blessed forever, to you be praise and honor for giving yourself, shedding your blood, and letting your body be broken in death for our sake, so that we might have the forgiveness of sins and eternal life. Bless, O God, this bread which we together eat, and the cup which we together drink. Let us, through this blessed bread and this blessed cup, become partakers of our Savior Jesus Christ. Unite us with one another and with all your saints in heaven and on earth. Consecrate us, body and soul, to be a living, acceptable offering to you, so that in word and deed we may continually praise and glorify your holy name, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, now and forever. Amen. Jesus invites you to come. Let's sing together our closing hymn. God be your comfort, your strength. God be your hope and support. God be your light and your way. And the blessing of God, Creator, Redeemer, and Giver of life, remain with you now and forever. Amen.
Lord used it. Uh-huh. And he went through some big talk this like a while back. Lately, did you get the thing I sent you from Brown? From Brown, sorry.
Did you?
I sent it to you.
Are you sure? I don't think I was sick
though. It was a YouTube. And it was it was a YouTube.
Oh, it's YouTube. Is that